That's you. Yep. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Chop Sports Daily, coming to you live from the Flipping Made Easy studio here in Mattawan, New Jersey. Sturch and Gooch are in the house for a feel-good football Friday. Gotta love it. You're rocking your I almost said Panthers. Why? What, like, when have you ever?
I don't know.
Never. Never, right? Ever.
I actually do know. Never.
Never. Exactly. There's the answer.
Rivalry week for
rocking your Packers stuff. I'm rocking the old Chop Sports. You can't see it under the screen right now, but the Chop Sports hoodie. You can get that at chopsports.shop. Go check that out. I ordered my other ones, and one in royal blue, one in navy, because I'm just a hoodie guy, and it's hoodie season, and that's the way to do it. So go support the brand by doing that. Lots of stuff to talk about today. It is, again, a football Friday. A lot of things happened last night. We'll get into the abysmal game that was. I don't even know if you watched it. Well, I don't even think catch it.
Yeah, I did watch the second half, but that was worse.
Yeah, dude, it was bad. We'll get into it. A couple MVPs were crowned. We got our Week 11 picks. We got a whole lot of stuff to talk about, so thank you guys for joining the show, obviously, from YouTube. Oh, look at that. We got Scott Semmons finally letting people have StreamYard have his access and this, that, and a third. And that is is the star on your hat off center?
No, it's just off.
Just my head was off center. I was off center completely. So thanks for the good looks there, bro. I appreciate it for making me feel nice and insecure here on a Friday. So a lot of stuff going on. First and foremost, if you joined the show yesterday, be sure to know that Chop Sports is partnering up with my friend Lindsay Sally for her 2021 Family Gift Assistance Project. This is basically your Toys for Tots, but on a smaller scale in her county. All the toys are going directly to, you know, these families that are in need. We do want to, you know, give a special shout out to her and all the support throw her way as well. So thank you for letting Chop Sports come aboard with you guys to do that. So we do have some news before we get into the crazy stuff. But actually, right before we got started, you said that AJ had sent you a text.
Yeah, bro.
This is a bigger text. Now, this was like literally at the 11th hour, so we didn't like put together any kind of graphic or anything like that for the listeners at home. But this is NBA related, and it's showing you that, once again, these hoes ain't loyal, okay? Because everybody always sells out to the highest bidder, and now we have one of the biggest superstars in the NBA basically putting it out there in the universe that he might not be there forever. Explain. Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to say that Giannis isn't loyal because...
And we're talking about Giannis Antetokounmpo. Yeah, him.
Giannis, oh yes. So Giannis put out a cryptic quote.
Yeah.
And it's hard to say, just to piggyback of what you said, that Giannis isn't loyal because his loyalty showed when he re-upped with Milwaukee to begin with, because he could have gone anywhere in the league. He did it the right way by sticking with the team. And when I say the right way, I mean in the eyes of the old men in the world, where you can't call him greedy at this point. He stuck around. He got a championship with Milwaukee. But I'm going to read the quote.
Do it.
And it's not even cryptic. I said it was cryptic because that's the headline.
No, it's pretty straightforward.
It's pretty straightforward as far as I see it. So I quote Giannis here. One challenge was to bring a championship here, and we did. It was very hard, but we did. Very, very hard. I just love challenges. Now, what's the next challenge? The next challenge might not be here. Let me go on and on. All right. Me and my family chose to stay in this city that we all love and has taken care of us for now. In 2 years, that might change. I'm being totally honest with you. I'm always honest. I love this city. I love this community. I want to help as much as possible.
Do you think he just had like a moment of weakness, like sitting there at his Twitter fingers and just like,
no, I don't.
Man, I want to tell everybody.
I don't think it was a tweet per se.
What, he said it on somebody's show?
This is like a quote. It doesn't seem like this is a tweet.
Like, or a tweet or an Instagram or anything like that. Yeah, nothing like
this
that.
This was like in an interview, I would imagine, or in a post game. And right now, Milwaukee's struggling. If they were winning a bunch of games, I doubt you would be hearing this out of Giannis right now. But I don't think that he's going to necessarily – there's no imminent trade. He's got two more years left, I think, after this season. So I don't even think it's really a possibility. Maybe as we approach his final year, his contract year, then we could talk about it.
He is going to look amazing at the Garden. For 41 games.
Here
he's
going
to look so good as a New York Knick. I can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun. So that's the Giannis stuff. But you also told me.
Oh, yeah. More on the NBA.
A little more NBA, because this is what we talked about yesterday a little bit.
Did you happen to see?
No.
my boy.
No.
Our boy now. I'll call him our boy. Oh, because now it's our boy. I think if you just watch him a couple of times.
You think
I'm
going to come around?
I do.
Okay.
It's going to be hard for you to not, because I understand your whole reasoning behind not liking Steph Curry, but bro, nine more threes. This guy's on the road in Cleveland and he's getting MVP chance. And now I'm pretty sure that Cleveland and Golden State have had some history of recent times in the finals.
Yeah, you know what it is though with this Golden State team? What I'm realizing about Golden State is that they're becoming the Tampa Bay Buccaneers of the NBA, meaning if you didn't have a team, right, and you wanted to latch on to a nationwide team and you're not from the Bay Area, Golden State was an easy one to go with.
This is the beauty of my NBA fanhood, because right now the Lakers suck. LeBron's like in year 31. He's not even playing. AD's cursing out the refs every day. Russell Westbrook's just dribbling in circles. And now I could just jump ship, easily jump ship with no regard for anything, and I could just pull for Steph, and then I'll get another title in my
I'm wondering if people would consider that fraudulent, like, for you not to have an NBA team.
I don't.
Like, you know what? That does make you probably the better analyst of the two of us. Even if I knew all the NBA,
I don't care what people say is because what would be fraudulent is if I acted like I liked a team. I'm not sitting here and jumping on the bandwagon and then sticking around being like, this is my squad, I've liked them forever. No, I'm literally admitting that I jump around and I don't care what anybody thinks of it.
House of Pain.
You could question my fanhood. You could say that this, that, or the other, but it's, you know what it is? It's real. It's who I am, so I don't really care what anybody thinks of it.
All right, show's over.
Show's over. That's it. Bang. Goodbye. Bye, guys.
And Gooch leaves the scene. End scene. Jack chiming in with a little bit more news. AB gets caught with a fake vax card. I know that is big news. I tend not to try to, I try very hard to keep this kind of crap away from Chop Sports because whatever.
I have something to say about it.
Do you? Go ahead.
How come it's not a huge deal like the Aaron Rodgers thing was?
I don't think Roethlisberger stuff got blown up.
Well, like, Roethlisberger self-reported, so he got.
What about? Nobody's talking about Joe Flacco. You hear about Joe Flacco? He had a press conference where he was wearing a mask, and all of a sudden they're like, "Aren't you back?"
No. How about Kirk Cousins is in press conferences all season long with no mask? I didn't hear about him getting fined. He's not vaxxed.
The NFL just has this thing out for Rodgers, bro. You know why? Because Rodgers has no remorse. Rodgers is the kind of guy who's like, that's cool. You don't like. He's literally you. He's like, you and him are like Spider-Man meme.
That's like honestly, when you sent me the text the other day and you were like, bro, I just listened to the Rodgers interview and it felt like I was talking to you, I started glowing. I was like, well, today's a great day. Nothing else could go wrong today.
It's so apparent. Like, you guys are both like, yeah, no, this is my opinions, and if you don't like it, well, you know, there's the door, and F off and jump off a bridge. You know, like, it's like you have no regard for anybody's thoughts, and that's fine, but I'm just saying, like, with AB doing what he does, it's almost like the Manny being Manny thing. Like, when this came out, I'm like, oh, it's AB. Like, of course he did this.
I saw a post in the group yesterday, and it was saying, like, how come... And it was somebody that I actually typically respect his post, so I'm not actually bashing it, but Sean Curtis made a comment about how come, you know, what's the real difference between AB and Aaron Rodgers?
What's the difference, or why is it not as polarized?
He's like, I understand the actual difference in terms of details, but morally, what's the difference? And the difference is... One is like AB faked the vaccination. Aaron Rodgers was never deemed to be vaccinated by the NFL. If he was, he wouldn't have had to follow the protocol.
Now,
so it wasn't like the NFL didn't know what was going on. If AB handed in the NFL a fake vax card, that's fucking crazy. Because that's like
from what I read, and like I said, I try not to get into the COVID stuff because it's just it's annoying at this point.
Yeah.
And it just brings you down the entire, like, the mood brings you down. But from what I read, it was something about his cook. Who spilled the beans, but the cook is owed like 10 G's or something.
What's up with this hired help? You got massage therapists, cooks. They just can't get out of this.
Go cook yourself. You know how long I've been cooking Elio's by myself? I don't need a cook. It's easy.
If I'm rich, I'm not cooking. Maybe like...
Well, you better get somebody that's more...
Maybe I'd cook for Ash, but I'm not cooking for... I don't cook for myself now.
What a stud. What a stud. You cook for your girl?
Yeah. Yeah.
What a world. Anyway.
Oh, Ash is here on YouTube.
All right. What's up, Ash? Good stuff. Good stuff. Scoop Espo chiming in. Patrick Kane did it and got 20 games suspended. Well, I guess that was the fake vax card. Patrick Kane, by the way, is a hockey player, Gooch.
I figured because I didn't know who the fuck it was. So I was like, oh.
Trying to fill you in and I'm educating you on who he is.
I know the name. I don't know what team he plays for or anything.
Well, from what I remember, the Chicago Blackhawks? That could be wrong.
Well, nobody's
Tampa Bay? I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But yeah, it just... Yeah, here's another one coming in. He don't pay his staff, and they're out here telling his business. That's exactly what happened. He owes the guy money. He owes the guy, I think, $10,000, and he's like, "That's cool, AB. You don't want to talk. You don't want to pay your debts." Well, it's funny you should say that because I got this Vax card that was made for you.
Why is AB's girl talking crazy shit too? What, like, that's something that you need to keep buttoned up, because it wasn't AB that spilled the beans to the chef, apparently. It was his girl saying, "Oh, yeah, I got to go pick up my fake vaccination card," or something like that.
What did I say about Giannis?
He's Jose ain't loyal.
Well, I'm glad you said it, because I didn't want to say it anymore. So anyway, that is your news, the stuff that broke overnight, or at least caught a lot of the attention. But baseball named two MVPs, one of them being Bryce Harper, the biggest stud in sports. I mean, this guy, first of all, like the hair, the look, the beard. He's just
if Aaron Rodgers has the same haircut, everybody makes fun of him.
And Aaron Rodgers looks like he's going to die tomorrow. Like, I don't know what diet he's on. He looks like what's his
name? Well, maybe that's why.
You know what he looks like? He looks like the guy.
Maybe that's why he's not practicing this week, because he's going to die tomorrow.
Maybe. And you know what's funny? He looks like Joaquin Phoenix when he played the Joker. Like, just like thin and sucked in and just looks not well. You know who looks well? The brand new.
Good thing I'm not trying to bang him. I'm
just 2021,
trying
to have him
win football games.
You would stop it. 2021 MVP NL Bryce Harper. It was a lot closer than what we thought. Not really. I guess the next guy was Juan Soto. And then, of course, our boy Fernando Tatis Jr. At least in the conversation, that means going forward, he's going to be in the conversation every year, really. Yeah, I mean, we knew that, but like,
he has a little bit of an injury situation that I'm a little bit worried about going forward. He's had a bad back. The things that he has wrong with him, I think, might linger for his career. I'd hate to say that.
But so he's like a Don Mattingly situation?
It's early, and honestly, Correa had the same issues earlier. Maybe not even earlier, I guess, in the couple years.
Did you read the Correa quote about Jeter?
He's not a Yankee. Fuck Correa.
He's not coming, right?
Fuck him.
I don't think so.
Also, I could go on record and say, shame on me again. I feel the same way about the Carlos Correa situation that I did about Odell after reading that quote. I have no business ever saying, "Oh, I hope the Yankees go after Correa." I still want AJ Hinch, though, and I'll take Altuve.
Before we get to the AL MVP, I want to touch on that for a second. Do you think, as a whole, Derek Jeter became overrated because of his stature and accolades as far as winning all those titles? Jeter is my second favorite athlete.
Overrated as far as what? Is it like the only thing that people say, and this is what everybody clings to, is like this passive aggressive comment where Derek Jeter doesn't deserve his gold gloves, but I love him. He's a great player, and I'm not taking away anything he did. It's like how I talk about Tom Brady, where it's like, fuck him. Right. You know, he's not really as good as he's made out to be. He got lucky.
Right.
But at the end of the day, you can't deny it. So when people talk shit about Jeter, it reminds me of me talking about Tom Brady. They might not like him, but it's...
They don't like him because of all the success.
The answer is hard no, he's not overrated.
The gift baskets. Like, the guy's a stud overall.
Yeah. And honestly, all that's hearsay. I look at the Jeter situation a lot like I look at the Rodgers situation. Did you ever hear Derek Jeter come out and say, "Hey, I give out gift baskets"? Like, that's all bullshit to me. It's like
all it takes is one chick to say it.
Yeah, but like, these girls are real believable.
I'm just saying. Like,
how about this? Where is the photo of the gift basket? If I'm leaving Derek Jeter's house, right? I don't give a fuck if I'm whoring myself out.
It's picked apart and put out.
Right? And I have a gift basket with a Derek Jeter signed ball. I'm definitely posting that on social media. One posted. And I understand it's a different time now, but MySpace was around when Jeter was playing. So I haven't seen a gift basket posted.
Kyle Kerms, batting average is so overrated. So if you're racking up singles, difference between 320 and 280 is 20. Hits. I don't know what he's referring to. Maybe. Oh, that was Bryce's stat line, I believe.
I think he's talking shit about Jeter.
No, Jeter's definitely not a 320 hitter. Like, that's not.
I don't think that he's saying that he was a 320 hitter. I just think he's making a reference and using those two numbers, 280, 320, and it's base hits. Look.
Gotcha. All right. Well, one history-making award was given out last night, and that goes to Shohei Ohtani. Winning his first AL MVP award, the first guy to really do it his way, unanimously, every single voter on the panel had Ohtani as the number one guy. He gets 30 first place votes. That's incredible. And now that guy who bet the 30 G's just won $1 million on Ohtani winning MVP. So congratulations to that random fella. If you're looking for a sports media company to invest in, holler at Shop Sports. I mean, there's ways to do that. We could definitely hook that up. But I'm looking at this and I'm like, well, I don't think it was a runaway per se. With this, I know the unanimous was there, but like there were a lot of guys on that list that could have given him a run for the money, but not really. One guy that jumps out at me was along like the bottom of the list, seventh, eighth on the list. Matt Olson. Have you heard about the rumors about the Yankees bringing in Matt Olson?
Yeah.
That would be, that's interesting.
I would take that.
I would take that too. So I always looked at Matt Olson. He's not a first baseman.
No, he is.
Yeah. I mean, like, he played a little outfield, right?
But he'd be our first baseman.
So that means bye-bye Rizzo within a heartbeat? He's done?
Well, Rizzo's a free agent.
I thought they brought, who do they have control of?
Gallo. The other
guy. Huh?
Gallo.
Yeah, they have control of Gallo. Okay. So you would take Olson over Rizzo right now?
No.
You wouldn't?
No.
You're sticking with Rizzo. Left-handed. Well, so is Olson.
I just like him at first. He's a better first baseman. It makes us much better in the field to get Rizzo.
Yes.
So that's the deal breaker for me. I would say that Olson's probably has better power, but I think the Yankees are okay on power right now. I think we need the fielding. And Rizzo's enough of a threat.
There is other rumors happening right now, and that's the Scoop Espo. Freddie Freeman, come to me. That's from Scoop. And
that's the prize.
That is the prize right now. I didn't even think he was necessarily available. You know, I know if you're a free agent, you can go wherever you want, but you feel like those kinds of guys, they stick to their towns. They're not going anywhere. But if he becomes available, my God. Like
he's an unrestricted free agent.
No, I understand that. But even being an unrestricted free agent, you would think sometimes somebody's names like him would stick.
I think that the Yankees, if it comes down to money between Atlanta and the Yankees, there's no shot Atlanta wins that. Freeman's going to have to take less money if he's going to want to stay in Atlanta. There's no chance that the Braves outbid New York on that.
Okay. Before we get to week 11, I don't know if you brought up yesterday's game. I'm looking for it. There it is. Okay, so it's at the bottom right now. But so we'll get into it. I mean, there wasn't much to get into. It was just an abysmal showing by the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons have now been outscored 68-3 in the last two games. They have not scored a touchdown in over eight quarters. It's bad news over there. I'm at the point, Gooch, that I feel legitimately bad for Matt Ryan. I really do. Like, he has no weapons outside of Kyle Pitts. He was throwing the balls to, like, Tajay Sharp and, like, whatever, the other guy with the name I can't, something, I don't know. It's not going to matter. Him. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, there was nobody to throw to other than Pitts. And when Pitts is taken off the field, like you said yesterday, Gooch, there was one guy that Belichick was going to zero in on, him and his coked-out son. Like, they were going to zero in on one guy. It was Pitts. And then you had nothing else. Mike Davis couldn't get it going. Like, there was just nothing happening. And I'm at the point now where I think Matt Ryan either A, needs to retire, or B, I don't know where he would finish his career, because the Falcons are more than likely, to me, after this year, going to move on. Like, they have to. And it's not going to be Josh Rosen. I don't think that guy's in the top 64 of quarterbacks in football. He shouldn't even be a backup. He stinks, right? And then they brought up a third guy who his only pass was picked. So then I started to think to myself, is this the first time in NFL history?
Yeah, we were just asked that by Jack as well, and I can't imagine that is. No,
no
way.
It's not. And you know who actually proved me wrong? Well, not proved me wrong, but looked up the stat, or at least knew about it. Anthony, no-showed to the playoff game, Mangine. He actually came up with a stat saying that in 1971, the Chargers did it. So they brought in some guy named, like, Moses Malone or something like that, and it wasn't obviously him, but it wasn't
so
him.
So they brought in a Hall of Fame basketball
player? They brought in a Hall of Fame basketball player through a pick. So the Chargers have done it. I was, to my surprise, I was like, this has to be the first, you know, time this ever happened, and it's not. But, yeah, so what can you say, man? What can you say about the Falcons right now? I mean, they're just a piss-poor team. Piss-poor. Like, very bad.
There's not much to talk about with the Falcons, but there's a lot to talk about with the Patriots and that defense and how Barmore's playing and just Judon. Bill Belichick is probably doing the best job he's done in his entire career. A rookie quarterback playing efficiently. I think he could do more, and it would be real nice to see Mac Jones with actual weapons out there. But this allows him to kind of dumb it down a little bit, be safe. The defense playing the way it is, the offensive line playing the way they are. The Patriots, when it gets cold, we say it for the last 2 weeks. Now they're proving it to the league. They're going to be tough to beat. I cannot wait for these games against Buffalo.
They have a little bit of a legitimate two-headed monster right now. Stevenson ran hard yesterday. Yeah. He was run over, guys, in which I think he got like over 60 yards on the ground, maybe even 70.
All the preseason stuff that I was talking about, Ram Stevenson, is starting to come to fruition.
Yeah.
Shout out to AJ, too, because he's actually the one that put me onto him to begin with. So.
Yeah. I mean, and Damian Harris is a bona fide number one now. Mac Jones, once again, throws a pick. But, like, again, I don't know if you notice, But and I don't want this to happen for selfish reasons of being a fan of the guy behind me, Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott currently holds the record for rookie completion percentage at 69.6. Going into last night, Mac Jones was 69.9, 0.3 up. And then he just decided, let me throw an 84% up last night. So this kid is obviously more than likely, he makes a lot of the safe throws. He does. There's a lot of dump offs and a lot of quick slants and not a lot of shots.
It's a lot
of
lull you to sleep, run the ball, and then they will go up top with that play action, and he can put it there.
He's got a nice little cannon. He does. He's got an arm.
I don't
think
that he's got the deep ball, but I don't know.
There's a couple times where they're up, and I'm like, oh, nice.
Every NFL quarterback could throw the ball deep if they need to, but I'm talking about deep ball with accuracy consistently. That's a very different thing where you see certain guys that just have it, Kyler, Rodgers. I don't know that. I don't know that Mac Jones has that yet.
Yeah, and Scott chiming in, and you guys were worried about the 6.5-point line yesterday.
AJ,
we were.
AJ did come in and say if what's his name doesn't play, they're gonna he lay 20.5.
Who didn't play?
Cordarrelle Patterson.
Oh, and that couldn't have been more accurate as far as like how inefficient the Falcons were yesterday. It was awful. I mean, they just couldn't get anything done. Let's see here. Scoop chiming in. If Zach Wilson was on the Pats, we'd say the same thing about Zach. If Mac was on the Jets, they'd suck.
I don't know.
I don't buy that.
I don't know. I mean, there is some that's a good, interesting conversation.
It is.
But I don't think that's fair, truthfully, to Mac Jones. Now, the Jets are definitely not as well coached as the Patriots are. And I think the confidence that a Bill Belichick coach team gives the offense and the defense as a whole, just everybody in the locker room, there is some truth to that. Mm-hmm. I do believe that wholeheartedly. But how many cases could you make across the league history of the same exact thing where situation allows opportunity and you to flourish in it? So I don't necessarily think that that's true, but I can't disagree with it either.
Yeah. Well, don't look now. The Patriots have won 5 straight games. They were 2-4 at one point, and people were starting to write off and say Bill Belichick will be nothing without Tom Brady. This is going to be another year where it just gets washed. And here comes the Mac Daddy, and now they're 7-4, 5-game winning streak. And like you said, 2 meetings with the Bills coming up in the next 8 weeks. So that's going to be fun to watch. It definitely is a different feel when your teams are like good, like, and then you can just really appreciate the rest of the league. Cause I'm really interested to see what the Patriots can do. And look,
until the Super Bowl comes in.
Correct. Team, and then Mac Jones against Dak Prescott. It's a weird situation. And I know you don't buy that at all as you cockeye that one. But anyway, let's take a break because when we come back, we do have our week 11 picks. Gooch decided to go on a run last week, put me in the rearview mirror, and let's see if I can get back on track. We're both starting off, however, 1-0 after last night, so we'll be right back after this. What's going on, guys? This is Sturch, and I got a question for you. Have you ever dreamt about flipping a house or buying an investment property? I know I have. There's a reason why house flipping is out of reach for most people, and that's because of a lack of information. Flipping Made Easy is for people like you who feel drawn to the world of house flipping, but they don't have a clue as to where to start. Check out FlippingMadeEasy.com. Here, you'll find comprehensive and easy to understand information about every stage of the house flipping process. You'll receive access to millions of houses ripe with flipping potential. Hundreds of expert guidance explained through research articles and easy to understand video content. And thousands of vendors for all of your house flipping needs. Subscribe to FlippingMadeEasy.com and become part of the flipping community. Right now, if you use the promo code CHOP, you'll receive a free t-shirt and a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's FlippingMadeEasy.com.
Everybody, calm down. Calm down over here. Calm down here, Gucci's going nuts over there. As we get into our week 11 picks, we are back live from the Flipping Made Easy studio. Make sure you guys head on over to FlippingMadeEasy.com right now. They are the number one source for if you're looking to make some cheddar here in 2021 and in 2022 as the new year is just literally around the corner. FlippingMadeEasy.com. You can flip houses like it's the back of your hand, bro. I'm telling you, I'm learning a lot. I look at that website literally twice a day just to kind of refresh, see the market, see what houses are what, see if I can get my family out of New Jersey. And somehow, I guess I can't do that now, right?
Yeah, I was looking at you. I was like,
you son of a bitch trying to leave. No, but I just don't like the state. I know you love the state. I don't like the state. I don't like the taxes. I don't like the governor. I don't like any of the crap.
I don't like all that. I like where I'm at. I like where I'm from. I can't help it. I can't leave.
I mean, what are you, like Mr. Rocky by the whole
No, group? Bro. I go on vacation and I'm like, for like 8 days, I'm like, what am I doing here? I got to get home. I just need the normalcy.
All right.
Even
New
if
Jersey
that's,
is normal, to
normal.
You?
Yeah.
Okay.
My normal.
Your normal. Is it the new normal?
No.
Anyway, week 11, here we are, and here are the standings. After 10 weeks of play, last week, Gooch goes 8-5. Yours truly goes 4-9.
So I have a question. We just had a conversation during the break.
Yes, you are at 500. Shut up, man. I
said,
get
I won this. I won yesterday. Yes. That puts me at 500. You're like, you're not at 500. I'm okay. Looking at it.
Here are the overall standings. Gooch, 72, 73, and 1. But, yes, you can add one more win to that. He is officially 500 going into the week. I get 69, giggity, 77, and 1 going into this week. So there's a lot of games to be played. There's only two teams on a bye. Let's see. Jersey for life, they've had to drag me out. First of all, Kyle, we had to drag you off your couch. Let alone, I did see that you guys were at a wedding last night. I was like, wait, hold on. Does that mean that Kyle left his fortress
You see the setup in the living room?
Oh, dude, it's when Dina posts like pictures of it. She's like, oh, I got this over here on TVA, and then like TV 13 over here has this one. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like, it looks like they put in the war room to shame, to be honest with you. Like, there's a nice little setup there. And if you don't know what the war room is, ask about it. But anyway, we do have week 11 to talk about here. And there is only two teams on a bye. And it's the Los Angeles Rams and the
Ravens.
No. Damn it. We just said it. The Rams and the whatever.
It must not matter.
It must not matter. And Scoop saying, my wife said, if I add a second TV to the living room, she'd divorce me. Well, I mean, look, man, from what I've heard, it's cheaper to keep her. So don't make any rash decisions. I came down yesterday from doing a podcast in the attic, and I came down, and she's watching this show. I don't know what the hell it is. Oh, the Broncos are on a bye. Good call, whoever that was. Jack, thank you. She was watching some show. Ready for this, and I don't want to get off on a tangent, but it's literally a show about autistic people finding love. Like, what? You know, and I was like, oh, cool. And I was like, are you into this? And can I watch? My question to her was, are you into this? And can I watch the football game? She goes, I am into this. And yeah, you can watch the football game. Scoop, start laying the law down over here, okay? Like, you got to lay the law right now. Anyway.
I get to watch the weekday games, but on Sunday night, I'm pretty much, it's off limits at that point. After like two games in a row and just
you're
sitting
sick.
There in the
you
pack.
You make me absolutely
so
ill.
Then like at that point, but at the same time, sometimes I'm footballed out by Sunday night.
How can you be footballed out?
Did you hear what I just said?
No.
Sometimes I'm footballed out by Sunday night. I don't know how, but it just happens.
I'll tell you right now.
Typically when the Packers
lose,
not even lose, just have the crazy game. Like the
and
Cincinnati,
you're just like,
picture the Cincinnati game. Like, yeah. The Cincinnati game at 4 o'clock. Like at 7:30, I'm not like, can't wait to watch the fucking Rams Cardinals. Even though I kind of can't wait, but I just need a break. I need a breather.
Here we go. We got some people chiming in on you, man. Dina Simpson, the pick bitch yourself. You turn football on a Sunday. Turn off football on a Sunday. You
this is
can't
one of those
skip
situations where I get. This is one of those situations where I get to prove myself. Where my fanhood doesn't need to be called into question on anything. I know I watch football. When it's time for me to not watch football, I put it away.
You are basically like Jimmy else. Palumbo, just box
no,
score
no, no,
watching
no.
at the end of the
no,
night.
No. Don't do me like that.
We should pick some games, right? This is what we should do here.
Yeah.
And listen, do not listen. If you're gonna make a bet, go over to chopsportsmedia.com, click on Jamie Foxx's face, and what do we got here? I bet if the Packers lose at 1, Chris is watching Real Housewives with Ashley by 4:15. Very, very possible.
No, right now we're on that Boardwalk Empire tip.
I started watching Dope Sick. I told you that, right?
Yeah,
that's a Hulu channel thing. That's not bad. But again, I feel like sports are on so much that I can never get into a show. That's my problem. And I, it's almost as like as if I would watch Entourage over again before I would watch a new show. It's weird, dude. I don't know. I have just
and also I am the guy that will pull up my laptop, turn the volume down, and keep it off to the side, so I don't watch it. But it's there in the cut.
Like you're sneaking it. Like you have like a fix. Like it's your it's heroin
and then
or something.
I'll get in trouble. I'll get in trouble for doing that, and I'll look at her a second later, and she's on TikTok. I'm like, We're watching this, but neither of us are watching this.
Yeah, no, that after, is a constant argument.
I watch the same episode 11 times sometimes because it's just we just don't take it in. Typically, it's her on TikTok or falling asleep, but I've seen episode 4 of season 4 9,000 fucking times.
You're reciting all the words. Anyway, so what was I saying? Man, I lost my train of thought. I know we have to pick games, but I was going to say something else. I forget it. And this is why Dina said, this is why you need six TVs to basically entertain your entire brain and have it fried by Monday morning. All right, so we do have games to pick. We'll start with, obviously, our games first. We'll start with the Vikings hosting the Green Bay Packers. The Vikings coming in 4-5. They are 1.5-point underdogs at home as Aaron Rodgers comes to play. So the right now the Packers are 8-2. They are the number one seed via tiebreaker. So they have to literally they control their own technically, you know, with 7 games left. So they would have to win out and they could be the one seed without even blinking. But in this game, in this regard, for me it's easy. I don't think the Vikings are any good. I know I've been saying that for the entire year. You know, Cooper Rush beat them. Last week they didn't show out at all. Like, the Vikings are just a bad team. I don't know how much of this Dalvin Cook stuff is ever going to come to light again. I think it kind of almost got squashed.
Kyle just stole my point. Thanks, Kyle. Well, I won't put it up there.
Hey, don't put it up, but go ahead. Wow, yeah, that's a pretty
The Packers have covered 9 spreads in a row, the first team since the 1992 Chargers to go for the 10th in a row. The Chargers actually did it. The Vikings, though, I know that you say that they're a bad football team. This obviously doesn't necessarily scare me, but because it's a division game on the road, there is a potential. The point spread is right where I thought it should be at the open. I thought the money would kind of just keep it even. It did go down a point. It's open at 2.5. Now the Packers are only given 1.5. The thing that I see about this game that stands out most to me is Kirk Cousins' quarterback play has been pretty good. I've been saying that the Vikings are held back by their quarterback. As I look deeper into this game, that's not typically the case here. What I think is holding this defense back, this team back, is the ability to stop the run. They're 31st in yards per carry allowed. I expect a heavy dose of the boy A.J. Dillon. He's going to show that he could be a bell cow back. He's huge. And then you have Aaron Rodgers off the play action. I think it's going to be one of those games where we have a few ways to beat them, and I don't know that they're going to be able to do much against our defense. If our defense plays the way it's been playing, I'd like to see Minnesota's offense execute the way they've been executing. And they're also like a team. They play good in one half, and then they completely shit the bed in the next. And that's right. Been the case in a lot of their games. The Packers have been a little bit more complete, obviously, as far as through and through.
Mm-hmm.
Bell to bell. Obviously, I'm picking the Packers
here. Right. I'm riding with you. As I just said before, it's hard for me to pick against Aaron Rodgers right now. We're heading into that November, December time where Rodgers really flourishes, and that's a problem for the NFC, because if they're already 8-2 and he's just going to start flourishing, like, even more so, I like the Packers pretty much the next couple weeks. We'll see. Next week, they have a decent contest headed their way. So, Scoop chiming in. Oh, no, I'm sorry, Scott. Since 1992, when the hell did spreads even start? I'm wondering.
You'd be surprised, bro.
I was going to say, that's actually a good question. I'm wondering where, like, point spread started.
Well, the reason why my father became a Packer fan is because my grandfather was betting on them. And, like, that's in the Super Bowl. So he was betting, and my dad was, it was in 1966. So the point spreads have been around for a fucking long time. Rothstein fixed the 1917 World Series or 1920 World Series. Believe me, point spreads have been around since the beginning of fucking football.
I think Jimmy Palumbo might be chiming in, loving this Cowboy Packer Daily Show. Yeah, it's gotta be.
What are we supposed to do? We're talking about
That game, putts. And if it's not Jimmy Palumbo, you're still a putz for even saying that. So anyway, going forward, so we're both on the Packers. We go to my game. The Chiefs and the Cowboys, probably your game of the week. It is the Fox game of the week on 4 o'clock slot. America will be watching Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, all that jazz, Aaron Andrews, blah, blah, blah. The Chiefs are favored at home. They're coming off a big win off of their win over the Las Vegas Raiders. The Cowboys coming off their thrashing of the Atlanta Falcons, which are turned out to be everybody's just getting in on the Falcons right now. They're just getting beat around. But the Cowboys 7-2 on the road, +2.5. Look, for me, this is pretty easy. Easy in the regards of having confidence that the team is rolling right now. The Cowboys are being talked about, maybe a little too much. I don't like when this happens. You got a lot of guys in the talking heads on ESPN, NFL Network, FS1. All these guys are all jumping all over the Cowboys right now, saying that they're the best team in the league. You know, they're the best offense in football. And while I agree to an extent, right, I'm not out there puffing my chest saying we're going to go into Arrowhead and blow the doors off the Chiefs.
So you picked the Chiefs?
No, I'm not picking the Chiefs. You didn't let me finish my point. But I will say this. The Cowboys have to get the ball first. They got to score first. That's the shootout. As long as the Cowboys can be the puncher and not the counter puncher, the Cowboys can win this game. Maybe the ball in the hand of Dak Prescott at the end of this one to get it done. Give me the Cowboys here. Give me 34-30. So not
you
only
who
I almost said Chiefs. The Cowboys, I've been I made my prediction on All About the Star, and I recorded that Tuesday. I said it might change based off of practice. Looks like Ty Smith might actually play left tackle for this Cowboys team, so that helps Dak Prescott in a clean pocket. I think that the Chiefs secondary, look, they didn't have to cover CeeDee, Cooper, and Gallup last week with the Raiders. They had to cover nobody, really. I mean, there's nobody really that compares to the receivers that we got, plus our tight ends, plus Zeke and Pollard. It's a lot of offense here. 34-30, give me the Cowboys. How you feeling, Gooch? I know you're going the other way, so go ahead.
I'm going to just take in the over in this one. I'm not going to pick a team. No, I like the Chiefs here because they're home. I wouldn't say that they're desperate, but they are kind of desperate in terms of being the Chiefs that they want to be. They want to go into the second half of this season or the stretch run of this season with some momentum. They have it now, albeit it was a little rocky against Green Bay. They did get the win, and a win is a win. And last week, they finally turned it up in the second half late against the Raiders. And they had that game in control the entire time. That was their best game of football, I think, this season. So going into the Dallas game, they're kind of playing their best football right now. I think that you would agree to that. Dallas, I think, on paper, is the better team, and that's crazy to say when we're talking about a Chiefs team and a Dallas team and where they were predicted to go in the beginning of the year. But the Chiefs' defense has been playing better. Spagnuolo has them dialed in. They're blitzing a lot. I know you're getting your tackle back. I'm just really – and this is going to be –
and we got the best pass
blocking. Full disclosure here, this is a tough one for me, but because it's a toss-up, I'm going to go with the Chiefs because I want them to win.
Okay, done.
But I would bet the over. I'm not going to take the Chiefs.
All right, 55.5 is the over. And there's only two games with, I believe, 50 and above. And this is the second one going into the Bengals taking on the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, the Raiders coming off literally a beatdown at the hands of the Chiefs. They got their asses handed to them. Not sure if their head coach handed out any monkey butt like Mike McCarthy did, but they got their asses kicked. The Bengals, also off a very, very bad loss to the Browns. So both of these teams need a rebound and fast because the AFC, don't look now, but you better start competing and winning some games. The records of like 9-8 won't make the playoffs in the AFC, I don't think. I think there's going to be a couple 10-win teams. The only way you can do that is you start rattling them off early November. Gooch, where are you going with the Raiders and the Bengals?
This game reminds me a lot of the Raiders-Broncos game when they were both 3-3. They started off 3-0. They started reeling. They became 3-3, and then they lined up with each other to see which of these teams is going to take another step forward and which one is going to keep reeling. I think the Raiders won the game against the Broncos. They're home again. I like the Raiders in this spot. The Bengals, I just think that the Jets kind of exposed them, and they've been downhill since. I don't buy the Bengals right now at all.
Yeah, I wrote it down here. I do have the Raiders as well getting one at home. So basically, if this was on the road, it would almost be a pick 'em or maybe favor the Bengals by a point the other way. But I like the Raiders at home this time. I like them to bounce back. I think this team is more a responsive team than it is a show me team. Like, all right, we just got our, punched in the mouth. Let's go respond. Let's go beat the Bengals who have been reeling and not having that. The offense is great. They have a potential rookie of the year candidate on their offense right now and in Ja'Marr Chase. And I think Joe Burrow and them probably do connect a couple times in this game. And the over-under being as high as it is, I think we're going to get a little bit of a shootout here. But I like Derek Carr. Give me Derek Carr at home. Moving on. Sauce is on Cincy. All right. Well, there you go. There's another free bet. So, by the way, guys, I don't know if you know this. I think
I'm fading the sauce. I actually think I'm going to bet the Raiders in this one.
I think Kyle, of all people, last night in particular, was
perfect.
Was perfect. He had like 17 bets on that Thursday night game. No, I think
first quarter.
I think it was like six.
No, it was six.
Legitimately six. Yeah, that's pretty crazy. So if you want to go get your bets, KyleKerms.com to make those bets. That's the point I was making before. Kyle is not affiliated with any sports book, so don't get that twisted, ladies and gentlemen. He is his own guy, his own entity.
But he does have an affiliation with Manscaped. I would like to see if he's actually been putting
please,
that,
God,
that
for the love of God, don't I'm show sure me anything. I don't need to see
that,
Kyle's
that,
hairy
that
ass
hairy
back.
Hairy belly. No, has got to be.
I've never seen his back,
clean,
but I just
shaven.
I'm going to assume it's the Amazon. I'm just going to assume it. But anyway, we're sticking with BetMGM. For all of your gambling needs, if you want the advice, KyleKerms.com. So see how we can work together and not actually affiliate any of the two. So that's totally two separate entities. You can do your thing. We're on the Seattle Seahawks game. They are home. They are favored. Actually, no, they are the dogs at home with the 12th man to the Cardinals, who are 8-2. More than likely, I don't know about Kyler Murray yet. I know he was a game time decision last week, but then halfway through the week this week, he said, "I'm almost there." Like, what happened to this guy? Like, Dak Prescott, you had to pry him off the field with a calf injury. This kid doesn't is not playing. Like, I find that to be alarming.
I think he's going to go this week, but I still think Seattle's going to win this game outright. This is where Seattle takes their turns it around and they start making that push that I was talking about on Monday's show when everybody was talking. When I say everybody, I mean Jimmy talking shit that Seattle's dead, which they likely are dead, but I don't believe that they're actually dead yet, and they're going to make a push. There's going to be some winnable games down the stretch for them, and they could definitely get back into this thing.
I got this weird feeling, man, that the Cardinals are going to start to show their hand. And when I say that, Kyler Murray or not, like, this team could be like a lightning bolt that struck already, and now the storm's going to pass. You know, and they're going to start losing some games that are going to be closer than what people think. And I think Seattle, who are in absolute desperation mode right now, they cannot lose another game if they want to talk about themselves in the wild card race down the road. This is Russell Wilson's comeback and come out party from his injury. Last week, obviously threw up a stinker against Green Bay. They couldn't score a point. They get back home this week, and I think they get it done.
I think 9-8 gets in.
9-8 will get in the NFC. But the only way to get there is you have to start winning games. You can't mess around right now in the beginning of November. You just can't do it. The Chargers, this spread's a little weird. We kind of both looked at this and said, why? You know, is this Big Ben affiliated? We don't know. The Chargers are hosting the Steelers. This is the Sunday night football game, ladies and gentlemen. So the Chargers are 5-4. They take on the Steelers, who are that disgusting little tick mark after the 3. So they're 5-3 and 1, which throws off all graphics.
Honestly, I almost just left it out. Today, I almost deleted the graphic because I was like, oh.
It's gross, right? It's gross. We have to do it twice today, actually, because there's another team with a tie. But the spread is 6.5. You got almost a touchdown favorite for the Chargers. And for that reason, I'll tell you straight up, I'm taking where did I write this down? I wrote this down somewhere. All right, maybe. Oh, no, they're right here. Because I put them at the very bottom of my list. I'm taking the Steelers here, okay? If Big Ben is back, which I think he could be, which I think he should be, unless he's symptomatic or whatever the hell, laying a touchdown like that for the Chargers at home after not really showing me much over the last course of the last couple weeks, I'm all over the Steelers. I'm all over their defense to give Herbert some problems. I'm not saying the Steelers are going to win the game. I'm just saying that they're not going to lose by a touchdown. So give me the Steelers on this one.
I don't know, man. I have a weird feeling. Seeing the way Pittsburgh looked against Detroit last week, that was a bad, bad game. That was just bad optics all across the board in the second half. I know the Chargers really haven't looked great either, and Pittsburgh's probably going to try and run the ball down their throat, which I think they'll have some success doing. But I don't know if that's going to be able to be done because, for some reason, this point spread is making me feel like the Chargers could blow them out. And if they get down, it's going to take away all Pittsburgh's strengths because there's a chance Big Ben doesn't play. Mason Rudolph's been practicing or preparing as if he's going to be the starter, which I don't know why they say that in sports. You should do that every week anyway. That's neither here nor there.
It just means taking the reps.
I just think that the point spread is a little weird for me. I think everyone should be taking Pittsburgh, so I'll probably lay the points and take San Diego.
So you're taking the Chargers?
The Chargers. I keep saying San Diego.
All right. Chargers are the pick, so you'll take them laying
the touchdown. I have no idea where the money is actually going. I just look at it, and I feel like people are going to be liable to take that 6.5.
I'm with it. This game is actually particularly a little difficult to pick, I think, because of the spread. The Jaguars are obviously 2-7. They get back home. They are 6.5-point underdogs at home, taking on the San Francisco 49ers, who just showed us a lot of stuff last Monday when they took out the Rams. The game that they absolutely needed to have, they had it, right? But I don't know, man. The 49ers, like I said, they could be the sneaky team into the NFC, and I think they can start running the ball, and everybody's going to get happy about it. And, like, the San Francisco 49ers fans are going to be like, we should have been running the whole time, and Jimmy G's a game manager. I just think they win this game by, like, 4 or 5, not 6.5. That's why I have a hard time doing it. The Jaguars have not been blown out every week. They're 4-5 against the spread, right? They're 2-7, but they're staying consistent, and they're almost a 500 club when it comes to keeping it close, you know what I mean? Or at least covering the number. Give me the Jaguars here. I like the 6.5. I don't know. It's a bigger number to me. They're home. The vibes are different when the team is home. I'm taking the Jaguars.
I see what you're saying because I do think this matchup is better than people think in terms of how these teams actually match up. Jags are decent against the run. The 49ers are going to look to run the football. I think when you get those types of things and the Shanahan coach team, he's going to embrace that, and he's going to talk to his team about this very thing. Like, oh, this is the matchup. They stopped the run well. Well, we don't care. We're going to execute anyway. The 49ers are in a very similar situation, albeit a little bit better off than Seattle right now. I do think the 49ers are also desperate, and that playoff spot's in reach, And these teams are pretty much playing playoff games at this point. If you're in the bottom middle of the pack in the NFC, the 49ers, they believe they have the talent to get there. I don't think they're going to let a team like Jacksonville stand in the way of their potential postseason.
So you got a touchdown win, basically. Yeah. All right, laying the touchdown. I'm with it. All right, yeah, so I'm taking the Jaguars, though. I don't know, got a feeling. A game that's very important to one team, at least, because the Panthers are currently right now in the playoffs. If the playoffs started today, they're the 7. They are 5-5. They are hosting the Washington football team. The spread is 3 in favor of the home team, Carolina. All signs pointing to Mr. Cam Newton getting a start in this game against Ron Rivera, his old coach. So there's a lot of storylines going on around here. But if I have to look at this game and I think who wants it more, and I think the Washington football team is just not a good football team, and I don't care if they just beat the Bucs. I get it. Everybody gets one. The Broncos beat the Cowboys. You know, like the Chiefs beat not the Chiefs. Somebody beat the Packers. I forget. But there's anomaly games, and I think the anomaly was last week. They played up, right? Now they got to go on the road again to a team that's, you know, going crazy for Cam Newton, and now you're going to get the home crowd, and you're only needing 3 to cover the number. Give me the Panthers all day. No,
I like Washington here. All right. I think Cam Newton's absolutely garbage, and if he has to start the entire game, I can't see them having much to do on offense. I think he actually hurts that team when he's starting, because he's good for a gimmick down low on the goal line, but it takes away their strength, which is, I think, Christian McCaffrey, and being able – like, when you have a quarterback like Cam, it hurts traditional running game. And maybe he'll throw to the running back out of the backfield, but I just don't see Cam being an answer for any team right now. Washington's out without Chase Young. And typically,
for the rest of the year, yeah.
What you've been seeing out of defenses this year, when they lose their best player, like, they, like, rally together. The Broncos lost Von Miller, and they rallied together and beat the Cowboys. I know that means nothing as far as this game, but
No, there's something to it.
There is something to it, where it's like next, you know, you're not relying on that, so everybody else steps up a little bit. They feel like they need to do a little bit more, and in some cases that translates. I like the football team in this one. They're also desperate, and in their division, I know I don't want to say this is going to be crazy to say, is Fitzpatrick due back at all?
Nah, it looks like they're going to put him on the shelf for the year.
Well, then there goes that thought, but I was going to sit there and say, with the schedule that Washington has left and the way the NFC is, and I'm also trying to ruffle Jimmy's feathers a little bit, I feel like any 3-win team, one of them are going to make a push. I don't know which one it's going to be, but don't blink. There is going to be a team in the NFC that makes a push towards the end of the season. Now that I know Fitzpatrick isn't going to be back and Chase Young is out, I doubt it's going to be them. But
yeah, with Kyle Kerms chiming in, Riverboat Ron, revenge.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, we'll see.
I'm going with football team in this one, getting the 3.
All right. Moving on
Dave, you're going to have a bad week. I feel good about my picks. So I'm actually going to have the bad week, and you'll be good.
I'm with it. Moving on to a very banger of a football game, and that's the New York Football Jets getting back home. They are 3.5-point dogs at home against the Miami Dolphins led by Tua. You know, so it's like, at this point, dude, Vegas just hates the Jets. I mean, the Jets are 2-7. They're 2-7 against the spread. Like, they're getting their shit kicked out of them. If I'm not mistaken, I heard this on the way down here, they've let up 45 or more points in 3 of their last 4 games. Like, that is bad news. And good news for all you Gaskins owners, and good news for all you Tua appreciators. The Dolphins are going to come in here and do work, man. The Jets have officially waved the white flag here on the season because of the fact that they're starting Joe Flacco this week. If they had any skin left on their body, they would start Mike White until Zach Wilson is ready. There is none, zero reason to start Joe Flacco in this game. There's no reason. There's been callers on local radio stations saying, well, maybe they don't want Mike White to light it up, so there will be a quarterback controversy. Did you see the game last week? There will be no lighting up. You ride out Mike White until Zach Wilson is ready. Joe Flacco is a complete waste of time right now. Give me the Dolphins out of anger. I'm just pissed off at this one.
Because you sound so confident that the Dolphins are going to beat the Jets, I think the Dolphins are slightly better than the Jets.
They just beat the Ravens.
I don't give a shit.
Okay.
The Jets beat the Titans and the Bengals when they were both 5-2 at one point each. So, okay.
So you're taking the Jets.
Yeah, I'm taking the Jets. Because of what you're saying, and like how everyone is probably saying that, it's only 3 points. I understand it's not like they have to, you know, the Dolphins have to cover a ton of points, but the Jets are home. It's a rivalry game. I could see the Jets winning this one easily.
Okay.
Not easily, but I could see them winning.
Moving on to a very, very important
probably
game.
This is push, though.
Yeah, probably. This is a very... Oh, no, it's 3.5. So,
oh, it is?
Yeah, so, 3.5. So, anyway, the very, very important game for both parties here. The Philadelphia Eagles, 4-6. They're playing better football right now. They get back home. They're 2-point favorites against the Saints, in which I don't know about Kamara. I don't know what the situation is. I haven't really, you know, dove in. I probably should have, considering that's a massive factor, but it is still Trevor Siemian coming on the road as your quarterback. It pains me to say this, but the Eagles are on the prowl right now. They're really playing good football.
Starting to come around a little bit. Or
they
just
got
being real.
A cupcake schedule, man. It is bad news. The Eagles are going to – listen to me now. Ready? That 6 and 7 spot, or at least that 7 spot in the playoffs right now, will be determined, and I'm saying this on November – what's today? November the 19th, Dave Sturcio saying this, right? The 7 spot will be determined either the San Francisco 49ers or the Philadelphia Eagles. That those are my two. At the end of when it's all settled and it's all said and done, the Eagles will be in this hunt because of their shit schedule. And I like the Eagles here at -2.
When you're looking at the teams in the NFC that are hunting for a playoff spot, this is almost maybe could be a playoff eliminator because these are two teams that are.
Oh, the loser of this game is.
I wouldn't say they're done, but it could be that way when it's all said and done.
For morale purposes,
this game means a lot. This game means a lot.
Where are you going?
Philly.
Okay, yeah, because you've bet the Eagles literally every week this year, and that's not even an exaggeration.
I'm
figuring
out,
really
bro.
Have.
They're 5-5. Figuring out. And honestly, the one week I picked Philly on here, I took the Raiders because Kyle told me to in my Facebook post, and I won. So, you know.
Is this spread big enough for the Tennessee Titans? They're home. They're playing the Texans. It is a 10.5-point spread. I'm riding with the Titans right now. Their defense is playing special. Their offense is getting it done without King Henry. This spread could literally be 20, and I think I would almost take it, too. The Texans are playing bad football. I'd be
more liable to take it if it was 20. For some reason, the Titans are 8-2. They're arguably the best team in the AFC right now. Some people have them higher than the Packers in the power rankings. I'm looking at you.
No.
Didn't you have the Titans higher than Green Bay?
Oh, yeah, that's me.
Right? So the point
they're
spread.
They're doing it with less.
The point spread only 10.5. I think there might be a Tygod Taylor sighting in this one. I think Davis Mills or the Mills Mafia is over with.
Taylor played last week.
Did he?
Think so.
You think so?
I don't remember Davis Mills being out there quarterbacking.
Either way. Now he's got his sea legs underneath him, or his land legs. I'm not sure if I used that correct, but I'm going with the Texans in this one because I haven't picked them all year. I'm out of the survivor pool. It dropped to 9.5.
Gooch is getting him at 10.5 because that's what we got.
I got him at 10.5. Thank you, Kyle.
So you're picking the Texans to cover the number.
Yeah.
Against the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Whew. All right. Well, Gooch is going out on a limb here and going with the Texans. Maybe he thinks it's going to be closer than we thought. Two teams, well, one team that's kind of reeling right now, and that's the Cleveland Browns. Another massive spread as we have to look at another weird number after a loss. The 0-8-1 Detroit Lions on the road, 11.5-point underdogs against the Cleveland Browns, who absolutely have to get right. Gooch, do they get right?
Yeah.
Okay. That was easy. All right, so you're taking the Browns minus the 11.5.
Nick Chubb, I think, is cleared off the COVID protocol. The Lions... People want to sit here and say, and this was AJ last week when I was talking about the Najee Harris prop. He was like, I don't know, man. The Lions are actually decent against the run. The Lions aren't decent against anything.
Against winning.
I don't know what we could call the Lions decent at. If they're decent against something and that's their best that they do, they're still not good at it because they're – look, the Browns are going to run all over them, I think.
Okay. Well, I am going the other way. I think Dan Campbell has his team playing inspired. It reminds me of the fighting – Texas Armadillos, okay, from the movie, the age-old classic with Scott Bakula as Paul Blake for the Necessary Roughness. Great movie, one of the greatest football movies ever made. But I will ride with this team that after they tied, after losing all those games, and they tied in the monsoon against the Kansas State what are the Kansas State guys? Jackoffs?
Jayhawks?
Jayhawks.
No.
Yeah, no, they are.
Cougar, the Kansas State?
No, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Are we talking
about
a real,
yes,
real
bro.
Team?
I think so.
It's the Kansas Jayhawks, Kansas State Cougars.
So maybe it was the Kansas Jayhawks. Anyway, they tied the Jayhawks in the monsoon.
I think it's the Wildcats.
What's the chick's name? The girl kicker.
Kathy Ireland
kicks the game tying field goal, then kicks the guy right in the dick, and then all of a sudden it propels the Armadillos to win the next week. That's exactly what's about to happen here. The Lions might actually win this game outright. This is the week. This is the week. We're week 11. This is the week in Cleveland. Whew. Feeling it right now. It might be drugs. I don't know. But anyway, let's go on to another game that's actually very, very, very big on the grand scheme of things. It is a very, very, very big spread, I think. The Bills being home after their thrashing of the Jets last week, they're -7, favored by 7 at home against the Indianapolis Colts, who are 5-5. So that graphic is wrong. They are 500. I only say that because I just watched Hard Knocks, and I know they got back to 500. So, Gooch, do you think the Bills continue this?
Yeah, I think that the Bills are going to set it up for – they're going to be one game up. The Patriots and Bills win out until their first matchup. No, I'm not basing it off of that. I don't think the Bills are going to cover the spread, but I do think they'll win the game. The Colts are running the football right now better than anybody in the league. Mm-hmm. Carson Wentz is still up and down. I'm not sure about their linebacker. I think Leonard got injured.
But he got back.
But he's going to play.
No, right? He got back in the same game.
He's good to go. So, yeah, I think the Colts, as much as I wanted to root against them this year because of my prediction, I think that my prediction almost came to fruition regardless. I don't think they're going to win 10 games this year. They would have to basically win out, maybe, what, win 5 of 7?
5 of 7.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen regardless. I do think the Colts, they do enough things well in this game to not get beat up by more than 7. So I'm definitely taking the 7 points.
Yeah, I'm doing the same thing. I'm taking the Colts here with the points. I think the momentum is riding on their side. I know the Bills have been beating the brakes off a couple teams, but they have slipped up.
No, they actually haven't. The Bills have had one good game, and it's been against the Jets.
Okay.
In the last month. They've actually been playing like shit against bad teams.
All right, then. So, give me the Colts because of the spread. I think it's too high. Last game that we'll do today is the Baltimore Ravens taking on the Chicago Bears. This one is in Chicago. The Ravens are favored by 5.5 on the road against Justin Fields. In this regard, this is the only reason why I'm going this way. I feel like Justin Fields needs a prove it that I can run with the big dogs, and I think this might be the game to do it. The Ravens are coming off of a really bad loss against Miami, in which Lamar Jackson, for whatever reason, has missed two practices this week due to a non-COVID illness. So I don't know what the hell he's got going on. Maybe he's got some food poisoning or some shit. Get the man an IV, but give me the Bears here. Give me the Bears at home getting 5.5. That's the only reason why I'm taking that, is because there's no home respect to Soldier Field right now. The Ravens playing in the Windy City. I don't know, man. I just feel like the Bears can run with this.
I think the Bears stink, and I think there is something to be said about what you were talking about with Justin Fields trying to match. But I think that might be something that fucks with him a little bit, trying to be what Lamar is, be Justin Fields. If he stays within himself and he just runs the offense, that'll be fine. But if he tries to run around and be what Lamar is, I think that'll fuck with a rookie. I'm taking the Ravens in this one based off of experience and the fact that they need wins. They need to potentially get up there with the top echelon of the AFC. And I think they believe in themselves as a Super Bowl contender. They're going to have to prove it on the road. I could easily see them winning by a touchdown or more. And I love Bateman to go off in this game.
All right. Well, I tell you what, this is going to be a heck of a week. There's a lot of football games to watch this week, being that there's only two byes, so that means the rest of the league is on notice and playing. So you can take our advice, you can fade our advice, whatever you want to do with it, but be sure to bet responsibly. 1-800-GAMBLER if you're having a problem, like Gooch might. If he loses a couple games here and there, you might need to...
When I tell you I'm the most... I wouldn't say I'm disciplined. When I'm betting and I'm in it, I make some stupid bets. We all do. But I go days without betting. I don't bet every time that there's a game on because I'm bored. I sometimes bet because I'm bored, but not every day.
Okay. So that's not a problem then?
No.
It's not a problem.
All right, no, cool. It might be, but...
All right, a little bit. You like the entertainment. You like the rush. You like to be involved in these
games.
My
problem will be, I'll say this, sometimes I'm betting when I'm like, maybe I shouldn't be betting this much money because like I have other things to do.
Correct.
So that we could say might be the problem.
I'm going to say
that is exactly what gambling problem
is. Did
you
not contribute to this massive bag of things that I have over here? First and foremost.
I wish I could take credit.
I got to give a shout out publicly to the legend that is Mrs. Gucci. I'm not on a first name basis. I don't believe in that. I'm an old school guy. Mr. and Mrs. Gucci, thank you so much for all the gifts that you gave my new son, Miles. There's a bunch of stuff over here. There is literally, there's a Cowboys book in there, which is hilarious. I opened it up, random page, and I forget the exact line, but it was almost like, we may not win all every year, but we are still fans. And I'm just like,
no, but we will still be here to cheer.
Right. And I was like, and I felt that, you know,
we might not win in any year.
You may not see one title in your lifetime, Miles, but we try really hard. So thank you, of course, to the legends that are the Gucci The Gucci family.
The matriarch and the patriarch, the hierarchy.
The high, yeah, okay, we can go with that. I'm with it. The guys that tolerate you for as long as you've been around.
Bro, I'm the most tolerable, I promise.
Okay.
Everybody in my family will co-sign that statement.
Even the people that you're talking against?
Yeah.
Okay, well, listen.
And they'll do it like, yeah, because you're a pussy or something. They'll talk shit, but it's a clear as day I'm the most tolerable.
All right. Yeah, here's Jimmy Palumbo chiming in again. The Jets onesie. He swears to Christ that I'm going to put my son in that thing. I like my son looks like he's got some really nice skin going on right now. If I put that on, who knows, bro? It'll chap it up. It'll just make him feel like shit. And it's just, I'm not doing it. Not subjecting my kid to this. Not doing it. He's got plenty of cowboy stuff at home. And like I said to you last night in a text, or at least on a comment on Facebook, the onesie is now our dish rag because we got raided because our partner in crime over here, Skiladovich, is leaving us December 1st. So she's starting to take all of her stuff. We're running out of stuff. So we had to use her for a dish tag. Still
got that fucking printer out in the common room.
Can we office space that shit like on the day before she leaves? You know what I'm talking about?
I think that what I'm going to do on Monday, I'm just going to put that ugly shelf out there.
Yes. Like, you're blocking why? The Yankees poster, which I was like, what?
I got this beautiful coffee table, end table that I say beautiful. I got it
Amazon?
Walmart. Yeah. But I brought it in here for her to put her printer on, apparently. It's like I could have that at my house, you know? But
yeah. Anyway. Well, I actually, the Scoop's chiming in now. She was very scary when you guys left. Gave me a look like she was going to shank me. Well, dude, Scoop, listen, you're here to comment, right? So that means you made it. And congratulations. Speaking of Scoop and his cousin Vinny, go subscribe to the brand new podcast, the Cross Court Cast, on the Chop Sports Network. Those guys are really doing cool things. I listened back to the show yesterday. Very good vibe, funny. Believe it or not, they're actually very funny. And go F yourselves for what they were saying during the break. I think they purposely did that. Obviously, Gucci, you have no idea what I'm referring to. But we're like, we'll take a break and we'll be back after this. And then they went into this shtick. They had this plan. They're like, wow, you know who really sucks? The Dallas Cowboys. They just started talking shit and saying that every player was overrated and how Scoop would take Chenault over all the receivers that they have, yada, yada, yada. It was fun. I liked it. I enjoyed it. But go check those guys out. Brand new Squeaky Bump Time podcast next week. They're taking the day off. They had some, I don't even know what the hell happened. I haven't talked to Salerno at all, but go check out all those podcasts. Subscribe to everybody. Go check out the website, www.chopsportsmedia.com. We got some merchandise for you to support the brand. And, of course, the best thing you guys can possibly do is share what you're watching right now. Share it out there. Share the podcast. Rate the podcast. Go on iTunes right now. Drop us a 5-star rating. Tell us, tell the world that we're the best thing you've ever heard in your lives. And we get you through every day because this podcast gets me through every day. So with that being said, first Sturch and Gooch, enjoy week 11 of the NFL. And we'll see you guys on Monday. And I guess Jimmy Palumbo will be here and just ruin all the vibes and tell us how many of these games stunk. But we'll be here.
We need a full slate of amazing games this week. So we can really try and say they stink. And I could just
so he can sit there with the post over his computer and say, like, this sucks. But go check out Jimmy's Instagram by now. He has a solid picture of him as dressed up as the Nutcracker. So that being said, see you guys on Monday.
Side note about Laviska Shenault. We had that mock draft that you ran 2 years ago. I picked Laviska Shenault for the Packers in that. And they took Jordan Love in real life. So I agree, it's better.